AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the 24th and final round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. To do this, I'm once again joined by my co-host, Mr. Timo Albers Daly. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Mr. Billington. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Busy day in the office, already recorded a podcast there. Been sort of tweaking and adding to some notes that we've been sort of building on since we reviewed Qatar, and I think there is a surprising
disturbing amount of news.
Yeah, there is. It's been a very short time and a big amount of time for news. And to get through all of that news, we are joined by friend of the podcast, Kiara Martin. How are you?
A little bit under the weather this time because of all the uni stress and coming from Qatar to whatever rainy weather we have in Monaco today.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's an uncomfortable shift back to, you've got a fairly good European climate down on sort of the southern edge of Europe. It's worse if you were to fly back to Britain at the moment, where it is just persistently grey.
Fair. But, I mean, it's okay. It's going to be fine tomorrow. It's not going to rain anymore. But I think we're all just dropping like flies because it's the academic period where you have everything due and you've got your exams. And I'm not used to that anymore.
It is the stress. I went through it in November. I had like a triple of events and a law exam. And then my body just went, right, we've got all that out of the way. Would you like flu? And I went, no, I've still got stuff to do. And I was like, tough, you're getting it. Anyway, ailments aside, we will jump into the news. And there is an important announcement from Red Bull and Racing Bulls. This is the one we all predicted. And let's be real, I think we all predicted it fairly accurately. Isaac Hadjar will race for Red Bull Racing in 2026 alongside Max Verstappen. Arvid Lindblad will be promoted to Formula One alongside Liam Lawson at Racing Bulls. Arvid marks the only rookie on the grid next season, ignoring perennial rookie Fernando Alonso, who will likely have his own rookie next season. Arvid, funnily enough, was -4 days old when Alonso held up Lewis at the 2007 Hungarian Grand Prix, which means that we're getting close to a driver arriving in Formula One who wasn't born when Ferrari last won a title. If Freddie Slater can make it to F1, born 9th of August 2008, there is a very real chance that he will be the first. Arvid is the first driver to not be alive when Alonso won his titles, though, interestingly enough. Yuki Tsunoda, demoted from the top team, will be reserve driver for both Red Bull Racing and Racing Bulls in 2026, though one wonders if an IndyCar drive was ever put his way, or maybe even NASCAR, or one of the other millions of things that Red Bull seem to just sort of punt drivers into when they get a bit bored with them.
I think Demolition Derby would probably be best for Yuki at this point, just to get his frustration out before you start giving me that look, just so he can get rid of all the stress and ailments of 2025. But I do think it's interesting that he's staying as a reserve and test driver and how much that has to do with Honda still controlling their older cars for any test runs and demo runs and all that sort of thing and having someone easy to put into there. As for IndyCar, one seat left on the grid with Dale Coyne. Don't really see that happening. So even with Honda obviously being a big player in IndyCar, probably not. I can't imagine he'd be that exciting there either at the moment. You can now give me dirty looks if you want, Kiara, on that one. But I much prefer friend of the podcast, Jacob Pulitzer's prediction a couple of years ago on an episode of Formula One's Pub Chat where he predicted that if he would leave F1 and open a restaurant in Las Vegas, I think we could all probably get behind that.
No, I'm gonna say it kind of reminds
two
me
of us can get behind that.
It kind of reminds me of the time they stuck Liam Lawson and Alex Albon in DTM, don't you think?
Yeah, it is a little similar to that. where I think, okay, because they had them racing all sorts of stuff over in DTM just to keep them busy, keep the Red Bull name out there. Dale Coyne would work. They are Honda backed. I think the reason that Red Bull have kept Yuki close is because he understands the factory. He has that line of communication with engineers and understands sort of the Red Bull way. He's been part of the Red Bull family for a fair old while now. So when it comes to having an experienced test and reserve driver, it makes a hell of a lot of sense, and that's something which will come back to bite us in about three pieces of news time. So it's unfortunate for him. Has he performed well enough this season to merit staying?
No.
No.
No, Oscar.
Is Isaac Hadjar the right driver to move up?
Yes. Out of the options available, yeah, he's P10 in the World Championship with a solid chance of finishing P9 this weekend. 51 points compared to Lawson's 38 and Yuki's 33, along with the podium he got in Zandvoort. It's logical. Aside from looking outside of the program, who are you going to put in there? And even if you're looking outside the program, I don't know if anyone would want to be in that second seat anyway at the moment. So it makes sense. I think if anyone's got a right to be a little bit annoyed, it would still be a UOS. So we talked at length about this for the guitar review because he goes and wins Super Formula Championship and not enough. Lindblad P6 and F2 at the moment in his rookie season, but it never really appeared that anyone but him ever stood a chance of getting that
He's got
second
the
seat, really.
attitude, I think. Like, you need to
Say
have an
again.
attitude if you want to be a Red Bull driver, and I think Lindblad's got that. Hadjar's got it. We could
Liam's got it in a
argue.
different way, I think.
We could argue about Pepe Marti, but he just never. He was fairly like I, for example, like I don't know how he ended up in Formula E because he's never even done a rookie test, as I said last time. But Pepe didn't do an FP1 either, I think. Well, correct me if I'm
No, I
wrong.
don't think we saw him in a Red Bull FP1 drive. We didn't even see him in like a show run or anything. And yeah, I think Arvid fits better within the Red Bull brand, I think. And I understand what
Do
you're
like the
saying
idea
there.
of him and Lawson at Racing Boys, because Lawson, quite fiery character outside of the car, never mind in, but has been a bit more measured, and those two could be quite fun to see together. And then if that car is as good next year as it has been this year, that's just fun because you've got a couple of young hotshots who have the definition of hotshots, I think,
Yeah. Well, no,
in F1.
Arvid's young. Lawson. I don't know.
He's younger
Hey,
than Timo and I.
don't make us feel older than we already are.
We're this. No, wait, I'm the youngest. I forgot. Oopsie.
Yeah, but us. We're not concerned about you here. We want to keep feeling a little bit younger for 5 odd minutes before Freddie Slater comes along.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of young drivers, there's news from Formula One Academy as well, where Jade, I'm assuming
Jackie.
Jackie, will drive for Williams in Formula One Academy in 2026 with ART. So essentially, sort of Williams sticking with ART, much they have with Lea Block for the past two seasons, and inserting a new driver. Don't know a great deal about the sort of the background to her. We haven't seen her as a wild card. Did she do the rookie test recently?
She did do the rookie test recently, 83 laps around Navarra, finished with the seventh fastest time in the afternoon running. Did international karting in 2023, which was when she began her motorsport career, which, there you go, we're already feeling back old again. You don't need to help us, Kiara, it's all good. Did some French Junior Karting Championship before stepping into single seaters this year in French F4. 12 top 20 finishes, best result P11, and got the female trophy. So, not bad.
Okay, interesting one to see develop then. I think this is going to be a useful platform to start honing those single seater skills. It is Formula Four after all. It is the first rung of sort of what we're expecting these drivers to step up through. So I'll be interested to see how she develops.
Again, another name we don't know. So it's getting to that point where we were talking about F1 Academy being more designed for people we don't know yet, rather than the established names as kind of a holding pattern, for less lack of a better phrase. And she's the kind of driver I think is going to benefit long term rather than the likes of Dorian and Maya and yada yada yada.
Yeah, it's an F4 series. You're not supposed to know someone who rocks up to F4. It's kind of like sort of
I
Roman
haven't
Grosjean
geeked out
rocking
that
up in
much yet.
F4. Yeah. Speaking of junior drivers, though, Fornaroli and Vachon join McLaren's driver development program. Why? As I said in a WhatsApp to Timo on Tuesday morning, when I initially caught wind of this, Vachon will very much likely go to Indy Lights, and Fornaroli will eventually go into sports cars or WEC. I can't see what McLaren plan on doing, although Ciara might have a better answer.
One moment. First of all, I find it funny that you said Indie Lights because it's not called Indie Lights anymore, isn't it? Are you
I'm
going
old.
to
Leave Indy
one
next.
second?
I correct him every time, but he just reverts back.
But for sure, did say to Dutch media that he's gonna be the one in the hypercar, like he's
Ooh.
gonna be the hyper. It's on. Well, I don't speak Dutch, but apparently, like somebody from a Dutch media actually told me it was on Viaplay. He had an interview there, and he told them that because unfortunately, we didn't get the chance to speak to Vershore yet. Wait until tomorrow. I'm speaking to him. Then I can probably ask again. But
Accuse
said to
him that
Dutch
someone on
media.
the Undercut podcast thinks he's going to be an indie light and see what his reaction
Yeah, we'll give him a time machine.
is.
Oh, get him on the. Well, no, it would be difficult to get him on the podcast now that he's with McLaren. But I find it kind of funny because he was the only one who's never really had an academy like backing him up, no, throughout his time. And Vershore and I are actually, like, I would presume, we're quite close in age at
I
this
think
point.
he's one of the
I'm
oldest of them, by the
25.
way. How
So
old
I'm
is Vettel?
25. I think he's either 23 or 24, for example. When Herta comes along, he's gonna be 12, my age. Timo's age. No,
Richard
Timo's
Vachon's
a year.
24. Oh, didn't know that. In fact, it's his birthday in 13 days. Happy
He's
birthday.
younger than I thought he was. F2's weird.
He probably got to F2 surprisingly young and therefore could sort of afford to
He's
spend
been
like
there a long time, and
15
I know
years in
it
F2.
screws us around.
His sixth season now?
He's
Yeah.
possibly a overall record for most seasons spent in Formula 2.
I will say though, unless something massive happens at McLaren, as we were talking about just before we hit record, we were thinking it's going to be a surprisingly quiet off season at this rate, barring any major calamities. But I don't know what that would be. I still think if Fuenroli ends up in F1, it'll be with Audi. So I'm sticking to my guns on that one.
That's interesting. I find it kind of interesting with Fuenroli because I had them in the press conference, obviously, for his championship. And during the feature race, Alex Dunn did place on the podium. And they kept on asking Dunn the question why he left McLaren because we all thought that was going to be a given. And Dunn did say, realistically, they've got two drivers that are excellent and they're probably not going to get rid of them anytime soon. So it was his choice to leave. And then all of a sudden, just before I was like minutes before I was about to get on the press conference for Fuenroli, they announce it at 8 in the morning that, Vershore and him are going to be in McLaren. And I'm like, well, what's the point of that?
Yeah, because I think Dunn left McLaren, like you said, of his own accord. He sort of held up his hand and said, look, it wasn't going to be the place for me, because they put an IndyCar contract in front of him and said, look, if you want to move up from Formula 2, this is your pathway with McLaren. And adds a bit of credence to my suspicions that they're probably going to do that to one of these drivers. And if we know that Vachon is more than likely heading off to WEC to drive the upcoming McLaren hypercar there, Fuenroli heading to IndyCar? Indy next? We'll wait and see. I mean, yeah. Probably a time to check the small print, Leo.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be triple checking their contract details with McLaren in the IndyCar world anytime soon.
I mean, another one for Chiara to chase up on our behalf. There was early rumours that Fuenroli would actually be off to Super Formula, but they sort of quickly vanished because the series has sort of had an explosion of interest over the past few years. And when you look at who's either tied to it concretely or rumoured for 2026, it's a baffling list of names. Sascha Fenestras, Ayumu Iwasa for a second season, Jack Doohan, Luke Browning, Charlie Wirtz, Jehan de Rouvala, Kalle Rovanperä we know about. Zach O'Sullivan is a little of a tenuous one. I haven't seen any concrete news
He's
about
already there this season, so that wouldn't,
you might stick
be
around
too
then.
surprising.
Cho Tsubo, Tadasuke Makino, Kakunoshin Ohata, Tomoki Nojiri, Igor Fraga, and weirdly enough, Daniel Kvyat has also been sort of rumored to be heading over to Super Formula. I'm like, I guess if you've got nothing else going on and you fancy going fast in a circle, and you're Daniel Kvyat, you might as well. But yeah, it's a series that's sort of blossomed weirdly with global attention.
Well, it's a very good series and deserves more attention. It's just kind of random how it's now happening. Everyone who's been keeping an eye on it for a few seasons or a bit longer is just going, well, yeah, why aren't you watching this? It's obvious.
Because the time zones are tricky.
Well,
Hey,
I agree with that.
that's true.
I'm just reading the names here and I feel like kind of baffled. Oh, Super Formula. It's just like a thing. Like I know it exists, but it's not exactly on my radar, as you say. I only know it
You need to
now
be getting
because
up
of,
at
I
awkward
only got
times
it
in the
on my
morning to
radar
watch it.
because Zach O'Sullivan, I spoke to him in Berlin for the rookie test and he was talking about it and I'm like, oh, right, it exists.
And I think people keep thinking it's supposed to be like a feeder series, but it's not. It's top flight single seater racing that just happens to only really exist in Japan, much like they have Super GT out there, GT500. Japan's world of motorsport.
Well, Super GT is something I follow because I'm more of a, well, as much as I love F1 and my feeder series, I'm more of a GT girl, like DTM, WEC,
Don't
GTWC,
get
you
her
name
started. She
it.
will go on for a long time about it if you're not careful.
Hey,
Hey,
don't
nothing.
expose me.
I got nothing against a bit of GT racing. I think it is brilliant, and I think it's a really interesting series to sort of spend time following. I'm looking forward to members meeting at Goodwood next year because they've got the Timed Shootout series is going back to the 90s noughties for the Super Touring series from the UK, the British Touring Car Championship from the sort of all the peak Mondeos, Audi A4s, Renault Lagunas. So that's going to be an absolutely brilliant series because they had GT3s there this year, and that was absolutely bonkers when you had some proper big names driving these full chat GT cars around the very small Goodwood circuit, and they were not hanging about. Frank Stippler on the lock stops coming out of the chicane in the Camaro GT3, and you're like, oh, I'm dangling over the pit wall, earplugs in, going, that's still skull splitting me loud.
Remove your earplugs. You need to listen and feel the sound of the GT
You
car.
don't need to listen. You feel the noise in your chest when it's coming past about 8 inches from your face. You don't need to listen at that point.
You need to bleed from your ears, Billington. You need to embrace it properly.
As someone who does a lot of podcasting, it's kind of important. I can still hear. So yeah, earplugs at race meetings for me. Anyway, moving on from the wild world of Super Formula to the increasingly wild world of FP1 driver outings and more junior drivers, Pato O'Ward will be slotting into Piastri's seat for the session at the start of this weekend in Abu Dhabi. Meanwhile, Luke Browning will drive for Williams in an FP1 session at Abu Dhabi, replacing Alex Albon, as well as taking part in the end of season young driver tests. And this is where things get a bit interesting because Kian Shields will be running Fernando Alonso. Alonso's car in FP1. Aston Martin have already fulfilled their obligations by having Crawford running in the Abu Dhabi session, so one can only wonder how much Shields has coughed up for this, given his less than sparkling career so far. Yes, Timo, I do mean P30 in F3, P24 in F2. They aren't particularly impressive, and it's important to note that Crawford will be in Stroll's car, so is this Alonso trying to avoid driving this car as much as possible? Kian has importantly accumulated over 500 kilometers of Formula One TPC machinery seasons. And yeah, this is extensive development work in the simulator as well at the Aston Martin Racing Technology Campus at Silverstone. So he's clearly a regular part of the team. However, given his extraordinary skills behind the wheel, this possibly explains why the AMR25 is so far off the pace if he's the one generating data. Because you want a guy who can extract the most from a chassis. And he seems to think that involves mining to its very core and disassembling it in an apex. It's baffling. I'm at a, you might as well put me in if you make a tub wide enough.
Fair.
You took some of my points for me there, but yeah, it was a kind of a double take when that one came out because you're going, surely not the same driver. Oh, it is interesting. You're telling me this is the same F2 driver that was spinning out at the back of the F2 pack for the day while Dirksen was fighting up at the front. Yes. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. How do we phrase this all diplomatically?
Well, I'm not going to be diplomatic. I started laughing and I laughed at the pictures of him in well, with the car, and that was posted, and I'm like, well, how? Because I've covered the series.
You
And
saying that now makes me think about whenever Nico Rosberg posts a picture of himself in front of a garage, and then you see the car the next day,
oh my
and you
God.
go, oops.
He better not do that this weekend. But honestly,
I think like Fernando
he's
Alonso wants
so
him to, so he
Yeah.
doesn't have to race it.
It's fair, but like back to Shields a little bit. He goes under the radar so often that I didn't even clock that he does work with Aston Martin.
Because they've got another junior driver floating around somewhere in the feeder
They've got
series.
Jack Crawford.
No, they've got Jack Crawford. Obviously, they've recently had Drugovic,
Drugovich. They've
but
got Jess.
yeah, well, I mean, wouldn't it be great to
Stoffel.
see
Let's not
Jessen there?
forget Stoffel.
Yeah.
But haven't they also got someone in F3 that would possibly be like a half decent shoe-in? Or
Oh, didn't they? Oh, what's this?
Stoffel.
Alonso's no, Alonso's signing that's just moved up to F2. I can't
Yes.
remember his name now,
Yeah,
but
him.
him.
Spanish. Is he Spanish? I think he's Spanish. Let me check my notes. Hang on. 2026 Formula 2. Nole.
Montoya.
Marty Boyer.
No. No, Mari Boya. Yeah, that's, but he's so young.
He could have
They
started
have
somewhere.
options, is what we're saying here.
Okay, fair. I'll give you that.
At
But
this point, put
Gina
Lawrence in.
Houseman, Matilda Pat, they've just got her
Oh,
there as
beautiful.
well, you know.
What category is Adrian Newey's racing license up to? Put him
I was
in.
about to say that I did make this comment earlier. I do wonder if the money we're assuming he's put up to get this FP1 session is just the now added bonus that they needed to give Adrian after he was announced as team principal, and this is the quickest way that they can just pay that off.
They basically kept sort of upturning and shaking junior drivers until money fell out. Went right, they are. You can get in that. Adrian picked up the change from the loose floor, the flat floor. That's yours. I mean, Adrian Newey is no slouch when it comes to racing. He's fairly decent. He has tested F1 machinery before when he was at Williams as part of like his development role when he used to have like unlimited testing. He used to go and he tested. I think it was when he had Mansell in the season, so the FW what 11, 14, and he tested it around Imola to try and get an idea of how his aerodynamics was impacting the car and to better refine it. So I don't see why we don't put Newey in for an FP1 session. He's an F1 rookie. He's
That'd
very
be
old,
funny.
but there's no harm in it. There's only gain if you're Aston Martin. Back to more reasonable options. Haas will be running Riho Hirakawa. Paul Aron will be in for Alpine, with Kushmani driving for them in the post-season test. Ayumu Iwasa will be in the Racing Bull, which makes no sense when you learn that Lindblad is replacing Tsunoda for the session. Why don't you put Lindblad in the Racing Bulls that he's supposed to be getting used to for next season anyway? And Baganovic will be hopping into a Ferrari again, but in the junior test post-season. Instead, Ferrari have opted to run Arthur Leclerc alongside his brother for FP1.
The only
You don't
thing
look
with
impressed
Iwasa
by
is I
that, Chiara.
assume, I can only assume that Wes is going in the Red Bull because it's a bit of a softening of the blow of not getting an F1 seat. They go, well, go and drive the top car for a
No,
bit.
Iwasa's in the Racing Bull.
Oh, Iwasa's in the Racing Bull.
Lindblad's in for
Well, then
Tsunoda.
again, same logic. At least you still get in the car for a bit. But
Yeah, I
yeah,
mean, it doesn't really
no, that
matter.
doesn't make
It, this is
sense.
the last outing for these chassis in a racing series. There's going to be, in theory, there should be no real overlap for next year. But yeah, Chiara, you looked particularly perturbed when I said that Arthur Leclerc will be running alongside his brother in FP1. Pourquoi?
The same thing, like, why? Arthur's not
Content.
be in Formula One anytime soon, no, and I'm so sorry. Like, if he listens to this podcast and runs into me, by all means, we can have an argument down the street, but
Please, someone film that.
I don't know. I think at this point, it's like a PR. I mean,
It's
most of
PR.
these
It's
PR, it's
almost something PR.
100% PR, but like, put someone in there, like, realistically.
Maya
Like
Verkel.
Kushmani at Alpine.
Yeah, Kush, I don't get why they keep putting him in.
He's got his Formula E connections as well. Do you know what I mean? Paul Aaron's literally only got Alpine at this point.
Yeah, he is very much sort of chained to the simulator, and that is it. That is what they use Paul Aron for. But at least he sort of can provide results. I don't know. It's just a baffling round of FP1 drives.
And
I
we
think
still
it's
don't know who McLaren are putting in for Piastri.
Pato
Because
Award.
they'd never tell us.
Pato.
And oh, is it Pato?
Yeah.
Pato. Well, that makes no sense either.
Yeah, because you
Because you've
just.
literally got two new McLaren drivers who are there anyway.
And also, you might as well put Fornaroli in because it's not going to ruin his season if he doesn't get a good run at the weekend
Or
because he's already
Verschoor
won
to
the job.
see. Because he's old. Verschoor is old enough. You cannot tell me he isn't.
No, you could put McLaren could put anyone in, but again, they go
All
for
of this is
Pato.
baffling. Riho Hirakawa is the only one that makes sense. And even that is slightly left field
Well,
because
he's the
it's
test
Riho
reserve
Hirakawa.
driver.
I know, but his role at Haas is odd anyway because you'd think someone who's maybe going to get into F1 at some point. But
But
yeah,
Nico Rosberg
all
did sign
just.
my Haas hat, so I can't complain.
Move on before we just flummox ourselves even more.
How about some more junior driver news? Formula 2, Tanner Polyn Trpkovic will race for Trident in Abu Dhabi, replacing James Wharton and partnering Laurens van Herpen. I had to go and check through my F2 tracker for this season because, God, I've run out of putting drivers into Trident for this because it's just a mess. The one team I've got had like sort of eight drivers across the season. It's baffling. Yeah, Trident hoping to find 34 points this weekend to overhaul VAR for 10th. Sebastian Montoya, meanwhile, remains with Prema for 2026.
The Sanapole, at least, if there was a driver at Trident who could do something with it, does actually qualify for someone who could do something with it, because I don't think any of the other drivers they've had in that car this season have realistically been capable of doing anything. And I think his main opposition this weekend, based off last weekend, is going to be Van Hopen.
Yeah,
So.
so as long as he doesn't, his teammate doesn't crash into him, Sanapol might actually do something. He's proven that his racecraft's really come on this season, so I want to see something exciting from him this weekend. It's a sort of that one-off chance before he sort of obviously, I think he's clinging around F2 for next season, so it'd be just good to see something. I don't know. We'll look forward to
I
it.
can't remember what I think. I can't remember if you were here for this or not, Jesse, the story, or if this is so many multiple conversations over a week that it all blurs together a bit. But I know that Zanapol's nickname in the paddock is Taz, but Chris McCarthy was so determined to pronounce it correctly in commentary that he practiced it so many times before the season started that he just always refers to him in full now, because he didn't want to waste all the effort he put in when he could have easily just gotten away with Taz,
That
which I
was
think is
the
just
Fraser
quite fun.
Ford anecdote, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only name I copy and paste into my race report writing. I have it in like a sticky note and I'm like, Intrapuvasa.
I can spell it. I just don't want to go to the effort of spelling it.
Well, wait until you're in a press conference with him and you're kind of nervous about pronouncing his name.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't.
He'll
That's
be
one to,
running through
that's
it
one
in
you don't
full,
want to
running through it
stumble
in
over.
full,
Yeah.
running through it in full. Has. There we go.
Yeah, interesting one. Anyway, to slightly more concrete and partly irrelevant news, some of the teams have already been announcing their launch dates for their liveries for 2026. Almost certainly, we will not see what the actual car looks like until we spy it on track in Spain. But Red Bull and Racing Bulls will be unveiling their livery on January 15th, Alpine January 23rd, Cadillac at the Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th, and Aston Martin on February 9th. I assume everyone else here also misread the Cadillac announcement as they were going to actually unveil it sometime in August because they'd written it in the American date format.
No, I think that was just you. So I didn't
Oh.
think applying it for August, because
I
that would be silly.
well, I am a bit dippy at times, and I looked at it and went, why the hell are they releasing it on the 2nd of August? Surely we're going to have seen it running by then in at least a
It's
few Grand
that
Prix.
quick. You won't see it until August.
Yeah. But yeah, again. We'll know what these cars are going to look like paint-wise for 2026 on those dates. Hardly exciting or groundbreaking news. More importantly, when it comes to actually, I need to get some additional notes up for this one. This is where things get
Oh
very
God, you didn't have enough of this section?
well. No, actually, I've skipped over one important thing, which was Lindblad's promotion makes it the first time since 1996 that we've had five drivers racing under the Union flag on the grid. Could you name those five drivers that were last racing as British drivers?
Which year, sorry? 1996.
1996.
I wasn't
Coulthard?
born.
Coulthard, I'm guessing.
Coulthard?
There's one. Yeah, just so we're triple checking. Brundle, Herbert, two more. Christ, who was around then? Damon.
Yeah, famously around in 1996 because it was very
Yeah,
tricky to challenge.
no, I'm just struggling to think. It's going to be the last one that gets me now. I can't think who the hell was around in 1996 that was British.
I feel like you
Naz.
personally,
Me personally should get it.
yeah,
Oh, bollocks.
you're very geographically associated with this potential driver, but I say that at the risk
Might
of
have been once upon a time, but now I'm now thinking, yeah, okay. Oh, what's his name? Not Eddie Jordan, the other one. Not Izzard.
not inside. You're
That
close. You've got the
would
first
be a
name.
hell of a, yeah. I can't think of his bloody name now. It's a Northern Irish chap anyway.
Eddie Irvine.
Yeah, I can't think of Irvine, that's the one. Couldn't think
Yeah.
of his name.
Yeah. Which, yeah, first time since 1996 we've had five British drivers on the grid, which is going to be very interesting indeed. Anyway, actually, into the notes that I wanted to get into, I forgot I'd written those bits down. Of course, Abu Dhabi Grand Prix fun facts. This is where obviously the season starts to get a little bit serious and a little bit silly in equal measure. Ferrari can do no better than fourth this year on 382 points. They are 44 points adrift of Red Bull. Interesting number to be adrift on. With Red Bull on 426, with just 43 points available this weekend as a maximum. Sixth through ninth in the Constructors' Championship can still be determined this weekend, while Red Bull can still challenge Mercedes for second. We'll get to the top three of the driver's title in a minute.
I'm just glad I was right about Alpine securing P10 last weekend. Excellent.
Yeah. Russell is secure on fourth and Leclerc is secure on fifth. Hamilton and Antonelli are locked in battle for sixth. If the rookie outscores the seven-time champion by 3 points, he'll take sixth in his debut season. Albon, Sainz, Hadjar and Hülkenberg are locked in a fight for eighth, believably. The best Alonso can do this season is ninth, the same for Behrman. Lawson can achieve a best of 10th, the same for Tsunoda, Ocon and Stroll. Gasly can only finish as high as 13th, as can Bortoleto. And Colapinto, if he scores a win this weekend for the full 25 points, can finish as high as 18th. So yeah, obviously the pinch of salt to take with all of those is it requires those drivers scoring the full 25 points and the drivers around them scoring nil. So
I think the only driver we can possibly almost certainly guarantee scoring nil is the last one you mentioned.
I don't know. Stranger things have happened in Abu Dhabi.
True, but how strange in comparison to this happening.
Yeah. It's a reach. Meanwhile, however, when it comes to championship permutations, this is obviously the first final since 2010 that's had more than two drivers battling for the win. Who were those drivers in 2010?
Vettel, Webber, no, Vettel, Alonso, and Hamilton.
You were right with Weber in there as well.
Okay, yeah, because it was five of them, wasn't it? Four or five of them?
Four of them. Weber was actually second at this point in time.
Yeah, so Vettel, Webber, Alonso, and Lewis.
Actually went Alonso, Weber, Lewis,
You'd say
Vettel.
in order.
Vettel won it from fourth, essentially. It was close and exciting. And importantly, when it comes to the championship permutations for the top three,
Who
Norris
do we
won.
have, sorry, as Petrov then for this weekend? Who would we sub in to get him?
Slow and in a Renault, but
Oh,
likely to be out
true.
of position.
Out of position would mean high up in this case.
Yeah, true. We need a mid-ish back marker. It's going
Gasly, I
to be
could believe
Behrman.
that with.
It's Behrman. It's going to be Behrman.
Oh dear.
It's sort of ridiculously high up for no apparent reason. He is this season's Petrov, and it's
Or is
believable.
Ocon, going to finish the year like he started somehow inside the top 10?
Ooh.
Surely.
Maybe. I mean,
Surely. Kiara saying surely.
I'm having hope. Okay, let me be a little bit optimistic here because I'm not going to Abu Dhabi. I'm not going to live the stress on site.
Probably best for your health, that
when it comes to picking apart the stress, Norris could win
one.
this if Norris gets on the podium, he's untouchable. If he finishes fourth, he needs Verstappen to be second or lower, and Piastri can finish anywhere. Norris still outscores him by enough. Fifth place, Verstappen needs to be second or lower, Piastri second or lower. Sixth place, Verstappen second or lower, no, seventh place, Verstappen third or lower, Piastri second or lower. Eighth place for Norris, Verstappen third or lower, Piastri second or lower, and so on and so forth. Essentially, Norris has the greatest odds going into this because he can finish as low as 11th, provided Verstappen is fourth place or lower and Piastri is third place or lower. It's a little tighter if you're Verstappen. You have to finish on the podium. If you finish first, you need Norris to be in fourth or behind, and Piastri can finish anywhere. You're untouchable from that. If Verstappen finishes second, he needs Norris to be eighth or lower, with Piastri third or lower. And if Verstappen finishes third, he needs Norris to finish in ninth or below, with Piastri in fourth or below.
If, aside from the races where Verstappen's DNF this year, what's his lowest finish in a race been this year? Without checking.
You're making me think.
Verstappen, second, third, fourth, sixth,
It happened once.
10th in Spain.
Did I said don't check.
Why do you think I keep these giant spreadsheets? It's for exactly this purpose.
It's ninth in Hungary. One time, the only time he did like the least worst after that was sixth in Bahrain. The rest of the oh no, 10th in Spain as well. So he's not finished outside the top 10 once, and he's pretty much been in the top five all season. So
Consistency.
exactly.
My favorite word because the kids keep on saying it. It is
Consistency
key.
is key. Yeah, for Piastri, if he wants to win this, he needs to either be first or second. If he's first, he needs Norris to finish fifth or lower, and Verstappen can finish anywhere. With a win, Piastri is untouchable. If Piastri finishes second, he needs Norris to be 10th and Verstappen to be fourth or lower. So we do have that great moment where Piastri comes across the line second, his race engineer comes over And it's a case of
Who wins in that situation if Norris is fighting for 10th and Verstappen's fighting for 4th? Who interrupts
Lewis
his
finally
party?
gets his win? I don't know.
It'd be kind of funny if he won to deny Max, but not to deny Oscar.
Yeah,
But yeah, who knows?
I don't
They
know.
live too close to each other to be doing this.
Yeah. But there isn't annoying, there isn't really like an Australian equivalent of Dubis Weltmeister. So it's sort of a case of if they are finishing off the podium and they need to wait for other drivers to come through, it is very much that case of it's just a case of waiting and hoping. And yeah, if we see sort of gaps open out like they have done in the past few rounds, whereas you look at sort of how far ahead we saw Verstappen pulling when it came to Brazil, Las Vegas, Qatar, there's going to be a big gap where it's just you wait, sunshine, and someone gets crowned either their first world championship or their Michael Schumacher equaling fifth in a row. That's a lot to play for. Also, it's Nico Hülkenberg's 250th Grand Prix, so he's hoping he won't be left hanging there like a cow man, but he does have a special helmet for the occasion.
There's a great bit of team radio about back in his Renault days, must be said.
Yeah, it's such a weird vocal cry from him as well, because he's obviously a little bit panicked
It did
about the
sound
fact.
like a strangled cow.
Yeah, it was completely pinned upside down by his harnesses. But anyway, that's my series of fun facts ahead of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. They're a bit technical and a bit numbery, but I don't know if anyone else has anything a bit more light-hearted.
Not on this occasion. I saw the amount that you had there and thought that'll probably do.
Yeah, we're already 45 minutes in, so we might as well fly in then to our product. Yeah, this is an entertaining
Time
podcast.
flies when you're having
45
fun,
minutes
Kiara.
disappears, Kiara. We'll move then to our predictions, and we'll start as we usually do with our pole position prediction, please, Timo.
Say I don't have any fun facts. I do have this one. Max Verstappen, I think, has the most pole positions in Abu Dhabi, so I'm going for Max Verstappen pole in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, because famously, even on seasons where he's not won the title, he's usually for some weird reason
He's
won
just
Abu
there.
Dhabi. Yeah, he's sort of like got to Abu Dhabi and gone, ah, screw it, I'm going to absolutely hammer this one. I've gone for Piastri on pole. I think that we've seen him fired up and angry, and again, we're back to a high grip traditional race circuit that falls more within his sort of window of maximization. And I think if anyone's going to really come into this weekend kicking and screaming, especially having had to give up his seat in an FP1 session, it's going to be Piastri. He's going to be fueled up, fired up, and ready to go. And I think he knows this might be his only chance. If he does not do it this year,
I don't think it's his only chance. I think it might be a
Lando's
while before he
not.
gets it. That one I would agree with. I think Oscar, it will be frustrating if he doesn't get it this time, but he's young enough and talented enough for this to not be his only chance. I don't think he needs the best car to win a championship. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I think Piastri has a chance of sort of doing better regardless of car, but we don't know how that field's going to shake out and for how long it's going to take to shake out. So,
Yeah, but you're also assuming that he's staying with McLaren in the entirety of the future. You know,
he might
he's
get
got a
kicked
long
out to
career
win
ahead of him.
Formula
He's
E.
only in his 3rd year.
Yeah, we'll see. Kiara, your pole position prediction before we get to the sponsors.
Piastri.
Piastri as
I
well.
have Piastri as well. So I think potentially it McLaren. I have hope that McLaren actually like kind of discussed the situation that's going to come down in Abu Dhabi. Because this is the final race, and maybe now they've come to their senses, but maybe I am a little bit too optimistic. But I think Piastri is not going to go down without a fight. The
Yeah.
same way Max won't
They can
go
have a
down.
conversation, but I don't think if it doesn't go the way Oscar wanted to, he'll listen to what they want him to do necessarily.
Learning
He'll
season,
go and do his
and
own
the
thing.
next season we'll have a big villain era. That's exciting.
Oh, Piastri villain arc would be quite fun. It's going to be kind of malevolent. I like the idea of that. Podium. This is obviously, as we've discussed, the important part of the grid, as it usually is every weekend. It's a bit of a sort of Will Buxton style sentence that the podium is the important place to finish. Timo, your podium prediction.
Piastri win, Verstappen second, Russell third.
So if we've got
It
Piastri,
still work that works for Piastri
that
still
works for a
being
Piastri
champion.
championship. That does work for a Piastri championship. I like how that's boiling out. I've
But you
gone,
still get potentially a fight with Max.
yes,
And I'm
which
assuming in my scenario that Lando qualifies second and Max just does what he normally does at
Overtakes him at the
random.
start, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going for a bit of a remix on the same idea. I've gone for a Piastri win, Russell second, Albon third. I think it's lo he's long overdue a podium. Sainz has banged out a couple in that Williams. It's time for Albon to get one in.
Verstappen and Norris taking each other out for this to happen? Oh.
You've seen the F1 movie. You know how it goes down, Tom.
Oh
I'm
my
not.
God. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just asking, is that what you're expecting to happen in this instance?
That's exactly what I'm
Hey,
expecting.
Kira, you wouldn't have to stress for too long if it's at the start of the Grand Prix. Then you're just like, well, it's happened, so I can just get on with enjoying the race
I don't think I would be enjoying the race
now.
if I'm being honest.
That's when you start drinking. Your podium prediction.
Oh dear Lord. Actually, I'm gonna go with Piastri, Norris, and then Russell.
Oh. So that's a Norris championship, but painfully off the back
And
of
it
a
would,
win.
I can say it would be painful because there's nothing more he could do again, and it's not enough because of other situations, I'd
Maybe
say.
someone will accidentally. I don't want to say someone will accidentally take Max out, but I think somebody will make a mis. There's going to be a mistake.
There's going to be a clumsy moment that wipes out a Verstappen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yuki's going to hope it's not
Well,
him.
statistically, it's never really happened, but there's always a first.
You're trying that again. It didn't work for you last time, so you're trying again this time.
I know. It wasn't a good weekend for me anyway. Like, Qatar was a horrible weekend for all my favorites, except for Carlos. At least they gave me that. I came all that way, but
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't like the idea of Norris winning it from second with Piastri winning ahead of him. That's that
You take it
upsets
up with her
me. Let's stir
afterwards
the
if it
pot with
happens.
that one. Come on, it's going to be an interesting way if that's what it is. But
That upsets me to my core. I don't like it. I don't vibe with that. Fastest lap.
you can finish fourth. How about that?
What, Piastri or Norris?
No, Norris, obviously.
Yeah,
I will
I can work with
throw my shoe at you.
that.
By all means, if that's what it if I can get me after championship, but that's a great trade. I'm up for that.
That's why we do this down Zoom. No one can throw shoes at me through a Zoom call.
Not accurately.
Not very accurate. It's they haven't perfected it as a means yet. Fastest lap, Timo.
George Russell. I just think maybe Norris is chasing him down in that fourth place, fourth, third, and Russell's going, I could do the funniest thing. So no, I'm gonna go and just get that podium because I've got nothing to lose. Mr. Consistent and gets the fastest lap in the process.
It's reasonable. I'm going for Oscar
You're being
Piastri.
very route one with your choices here this week.
He's got clear air. He's got the best tire setup. He's got a good fuel load. He bangs in a fastest lap. He knows that he's got, who did I predict was going to be behind him? Russell possibly chasing him down. He's going to do it in style. Could Piastri do the Grand Slam and take the championship? I think that would.
That'd be pretty dominant end. I wouldn't mind that.
I think that would be spectacular and just such a turnaround from sort of that midpoint of his season. Would it be great to have him sort of do the Grand Slam and perfect. Especially if he sort of does the Grand Slam where he leads every lap as well.
Oof.
It'd be that
Yeah,
chef's kiss.
proper statement.
Yeah.
Kiara,
Fastest lap.
close this lap.
You know what? My sick brain came to an F2 driver, so I kind of started laughing at myself for 1 second. So like, wait, wrong series. But I am
You can
going to.
predict them if you want, you just probably won't get the point for it.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Kimi Antonelli because he's got something to prove after the weekend we had in Qatar.
Yeah, I would be interested to see that.
Good could happen. It's a track he knows as well.
Yeah.
Not true.
For the
Although
sake of
weirdly, he's performed better at tracks that he's not been to before this year a lot of the time than the ones that. But I'm just putting that in there for the sake of conversation.
That's not the pattern for Antonelli. Is titanium dioxide, the food preservative additive, allowed
Oh
when
my God,
advertising?
you're on that Reddit thread too.
Oh no, I've got it on Twitter. I don't use Reddit, but I've got it on F1 Twitter is the place to be when it comes to this sort of batshit insanity. Has anyone checked yet whether or not titanium dioxide or whatever it is allowed in Abu Dhabi? Because
I have not.
live research on the podcast.
This is why you're never getting me on Twitter, by the way.
You're not. Realize that I've known you how long?
Okay,
Wouldn't have
so
any of it if I had if the option was open to you.
titanium dioxide.
In Abu Dhabi. Now banned in the UAE.
Banned as of November 2025. This is a fix. Oh, this is to stop him meddling with. This is to deny him sixth place in his rookie season. I'm not happy about this.
He'll get the fastest lap.
He'll bring
I'll
some sex with him.
tarot cards if I have to. I'll pull his horoscope up if like I need to.
See, you're the guest. I should have mentioned that I keep a horoscope spreadsheet on for all the drivers based off their astrological.
Please don't do this afterwards.
We'll get to this afterwards. We'll get wild predictions out of the way first. Timo, your wild prediction.
I'm counting this as wild because of Mr. Hamilton's recent run of less than stellar form, let's say. So I'm going to say Hamilton finished ahead of Antonelli in the World Championship because he'd need to score points. And at the moment, that's tough. As much
Yeah.
as that is such a weird sentence to say.
Yeah, he's been pointless in that sense of the phrase for quite some time, Hamilton. Las Vegas, he finished eighth. Brazil, DNF. Brazil sprint seventh. Mexico, eighth. So, yeah, he needs to score, what did I say, 3 points. He needs, no, Antonelli needs to score 3 points
Name
more
needs to
than
do that. There's 2 points between them at the moment, so.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Antonelli has an average finish position of 7.8, and Hamilton has an average finish position of 7.2.
That didn't work out the way you wanted that to, did
No, what I'm saying is it's
it?
close. I think it backs up your argument that this is a wild prediction.
No.
Interesting. My wild prediction is we get a Stroll top six. The
Abu Dhabi would be the place for it for him, strangely, I think.
yeah, just out of nowhere, yeets that car into sixth place. He's the one that for some reason Norris is stuck behind. He's the one Norris is stuck behind. There we go. We
We
figured
could
it
like
out.
him for something, finally.
It all comes together. There we go. Kiara, your bold prediction.
Well, my wild prediction kind of fights against my podium prediction.
Timo does this all the time.
That's all right. I do that all the
I
time.
do
It's called
think.
hedging your bets.
I do think one of the championship contenders could potentially DNF. We've seen
Ooh.
it happen. You
That
don't
would
want to say which one.
No, because I couldn't decide.
I'll allow it. I'll allow you to not pick. Usually we twist people's arms and say if you're going to pick like someone DNFs, we sort of go name.
It's the last race of the year. It's all right.
It's the Christmas season, we'll be kind.
Sick. I'm still on here, so I deserve that.
Yeah, despite Timo's best efforts, you've come back. So the final prediction we have, not really for points in the over our overall sort of predictions championship, but just for fun to bet on who wins the Formula One 2025 World Championship. Timo, you've gone for
Max Verstappen, I think it would just, as much as I'm happy to be wrong because I would love Piastri to do it, but all the evidence points to me at the moment to Max, and I think after the way McLaren's been this year, it would serve them right. As a team, not the drivers necessarily, but as a team.
yeah, I think that'd be a bitter pill
Poetic.
for them to swallow, but very poetic. Yes. I think Piastri's going to do it. I think we're just going to have one of those weekends where it just works out for the guy and we get that sort of proper heroic grasp at the trophy and it happens. And I'm curious as to how the other drivers in the title fight receive it as well, that Piastri wins.
I don't think Max will mind because he
Max will
wasn't
be very
expecting to be there
magnanimous in that.
anyway.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens to Lando for it to happen, different story and potentially quite interesting to talk about on Monday evening.
Yeah, because obviously we saw sort of Lewis's reaction when he lost out in 2021, and it was very, he was
Out of his
heartbroken by
hands.
it. Yeah, but it was out of his hands. It was a different scenario. I'm
It wasn't a 2010 situation or a 2016
no.
sort of thing. If it's 2014, I think he'll be disappointed, but at least there's nothing he or the team have done wrong in the Nico Rosberg's car going kaput since.
Yeah. I think there's so many different ways this could like play out emotionally and in sort of the fact that I am a drama queen at the end of the day and live for that sort of thing. I kind of want to see it happen. Kiara, your championship winner prediction.
Piastri.
Surprising. There was me thinking we would all have different names and it would be an interesting way to go into the weekend. Chiara defects last minute.
Is it defecting or is it the sensible choice?
Paying it since the beginning.
Sensible defection.
I got a Sky bet waiting on this? I can't remember.
Check afterwards.
I'll check now. I'll fire it up. Here we go. Ba-ba-dum-ba-bum. I think I've still must still have outstanding bets on this. I know that I lost the money that I put down on Ferrari and Charles Leclerc. Bets before him here. Okay. No, not gonna get those, not gonna get Lewis, not gonna get Charles. I still have money on Lando Norris. I have a £5 stake on Lando Norris that was at 15 to 8 when I placed it. And I have £5 on a 7 to 2 odds of Verstappen winning, but I never put money on Piastri.
Which is baffling.
Yeah, why the hell did I not do that?
Was that just such a sure bet at the time that you thought there's no point making money off it? Because I can't.
Yeah, apparently so.
It's the only defense I have for you.
I'm not very good at betting when it comes to sports. I never seem to actually win. Although last season I did put money actually on McLaren winning the constructors, and I think I made 75 quid. So that's like the only time I've bet and won. So
It's a dinner right there.
don't do betting, kids, unless it's on things you know to be
Unless you
stupid.
win.
Yeah, don't do betting unless you win. In which case, do more betting. We do not endorse this stance. Otherwise, that is all we've got time for on this episode of the Undercut Podcast. Unless, Timo, you're looking at me like you've got something else to add, Timo. No,
No,
just
no.
sad that the season's coming to an end.
Sure, let's go with that.
Okay, we can work with that. We'll be back next week with a review of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Timo, where can you be found?
Instagram this week, t.alves.daily.onthecurbs. Two interviews out with Guy Vegano and Karina Cabezas Abel. So that's me for this week.
Very nice. And Kiara, where can the listeners find you if they're looking for some online content from you?
Well, apart from pit debrief, as everybody likes to, look at now, you can find me on my Instagram with Kiara underscore Martin one or on Chaos in the Paddock.
Brilliant stuff. And of course, if you want more from me, you can pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly, which has a brilliant look back on the final stages of resurrecting my MG sports car. And of course, there's the Classic Car Weekly podcast. We recorded an episode today, which is out now on all the usual platforms. Plus, you can find me online as at Jesse on Cars on all the usual platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, with all the good news. And there's my sister asking how many suitcases my parents are taking on holiday. I don't know yet. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this week's episode of the Undercut Podcast. Like I said, we'll be back with a review of the season finale of the 2025 Formula One World Championship.